Good morning. We're reading in the book, The Writings of Rabash, Volume 3, page 2088, article number 930, the beginning of the month. You can ask questions at CAB TV, and selected questions that are relevant to the topic will be aired. The Writings of Rabash, Volume 3, page 2088, article number 930, the beginning of the month. This month, meaning Nisan, is the head of all the months. A month, Chodesh in Hebrew, is Chidush, innovation, renewal. And the Rosh, the head of the month, is also a beginning. And the beginning is in that the Creator delivered out of Egypt, because this is above nature. And one can only go by the path of nature. And only the Creator alone can do things that are unnatural, or not by the way of nature. And since man is created with a nature of having a desire to receive only for himself, he therefore cannot do things that are on the path of bestowal. And since this is the only thing that man is required to do in this world, so his intention will be only to bestow. When a person begins to work, he sees that he is incapable of that. But what man is required to do is ask of the Creator to help him to walk in the path of bestowal. But one should believe that the Creator hears the prayer of every mouth. Hence, one is compelled to believe that the Creator delivered us from the land of Egypt, meaning from the will to receive for ourselves, and to the extent that we have faith in that, we can ask of the Creator to also receive the gift of being delivered from the land of Egypt too. And only then, meaning when one prays from the bottom of the heart, does the Creator deliver us from the land of Egypt. Hence, this is the head of the months, because before we exit Egypt, we cannot be rewarded with any innovation of Torah or any renewal of Torah. He probably said it in the middle of some gathering or a meal. It's a short thing. We have to want that renewal called the Exodus from Egypt, because that's where everything starts. We always add in remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. It's the beginning of the ladder from which we begin to climb the degrees. And before that, we're not in spirituality. Spirituality begins from the moment of the Exodus from Egypt onwards and outwardly. Then the degrees. The first degree above the Exodus from Egypt is when we receive the Torah, the upper light. We begin to work with it. We begin to correct ourselves and so on, to climb on the ladder, the degrees of the ladder, when we have the light of the Torah from the right side, the upper light, the will to receive on the left, and then we begin to work with the light and the will to receive and build the masachim, the screens, together in advance. The will to receive advances, meaning appears as greater and more egoistic, and then we need more of the light. To correct it, and thus we advance. That's why this renewal is above nature. When we begin to work with lights. Because prior to that, while we are in Egypt, we don't have the strength of the light. It is outside of our kli. That's why all the actions and should be in order to achieve that renewal. Now, how is that done? de facto. Dream. Crave. Like a child who imagines himself being a grown-up. A fighter jet pilot. I don't know, someone great. And through that longing, the dreams come true. There's only desire in nature, and only the willpower is what changes everything. The desire, the craving. We learn it. But it comes to us from back in Ein Sof. We need only equip ourselves with a new, more powerful, more accurate desire. This is why to come to this beginning of the month, which is the beginning of all the months, the Exodus from Egypt, it's the beginning of all the innovations and renewals that will happen afterwards. It is possible only by everyone constantly maintaining a good future picture. And that picture, we will constantly want and long for and imagine it and picture it more and more clearly. According to the definition he studies, according to the picture he studies in Talmud Esel Sfirot, according to all the additions he receives from the articles. So in this picture he will include his friends, the whole world, and himself. And in his imagination he will build this future world of what it means to be in a corrected world. And the more, to the extent that he wants it, this real world, the real degree, will begin to appear before him more and more so. And then he will see the gap between what he imagines of spirituality and what actually comes to him from above, from the Ahab of the Upper One that appears to him, that appears within him. And of course that gap will be unpleasant. Because as much as a person imagines the Upper One, he still imagines it egoistically and naturally. But when the Upper One actually appears to a person, appears in a person, he appears in a more truthful manner, more a manner of bestowal and giving, higher above the ego. And then a person feels darkness, that his state is one of darkness. But to the extent that he tries, of course here it's through the power of society, the power of the study, to the extent that he tries to understand the difference between the picture that he imagined of the next degree and what he actually feels now, because he always feels advanced images from the next degree, closer and closer to the next degree. You only raise in sanctity, you don't decrease in it, you don't decline in it. So he's got a chance to constantly correct his image, which he saw, which he pictured about the next world, the next state, the spiritual state that he imagined, according to what appears to him now. And the picture that appears to him is darkness, state of despair, powerlessness, How can he come closer to it? He must see in his picture. Now he has to examine what he should change in his picture so that it would shine. In other words, he should somehow elevate himself a little higher, remove himself from the ego, so that the picture he saw before, with this dark state, unpleasant state, of the current state, will come together. In other words, to change the spiritual shape that he imagined. And that's how we will advance further and further towards the real shape of the degree of bestowal and giving until he enters it. So, A, he should picture the spiritual picture for himself to the extent that he can put it together with all the correct definitions of spirituality, as much as he can say what's correct. And afterwards, disappointments will come, unpleasant feelings, which are actually a call, like a clarion. They are discernments of where he should correct himself, correct his ego, rise above it, and then the darkness will be turned into light. Yes. It's not clear how the measurement is done between the current state when darkness appears and the previous state you pictured and how you complement between the two states. There's none so wise as the experienced. I can't describe something more accurate than that. But clearer. A person understands according to discernments that he has from experience. So if I say something that he experienced, he understands me. If I talk about something he's never experienced, he won't understand me. Yeah? So darkness appeared before a person. What should he do? Picture the last time he imagine the next spiritual state, go back to this depiction. What should he do? Turn the darkness into light, in short. How? To understand that the darkness that has now come is coming from the achoraim, from the posterior side of a higher degree. So if he wants to attach himself to a higher degree, he should love this darkness. So this darkness will be, this darkness is sensed in his ego, where there is no egoistic prophet. That's why it's darkness. It's unappealing, it's tasteless, nothing to see, nothing to smell, nothing to listen to. Just go to sleep. That's what he wants. We need to understand that it is the light, in fact, a big light, light of bestowal, that's shining for him. And his own kelim, vessels of reception, don't want that pleasure. To them, it seems repulsive. This, I do not want. I don't want that. So what should I do? Try and work in society or in anything and regret that I don't want that state. I cannot attach myself to it, heart and soul. My kelim are so egoistic that what I feel now seems dark to me. What should I do to make that state seem like light to me? There is no state that is not light. No such thing. If we're talking about a light that is appearing, which is, it's either light or the achoraim, the posterior of the light, which is darkness, ota, which is the in Aramaic night, which in Hebrew o is light. Aramaic is the posterior side of Hebrew. So ota, night, and o, light, are the same. That's all there is, light. The posterior side of the light is the kli, it's the will to receive. It's called existence from absence. The creator creating a copy of himself, like a negative of himself. And that's the creature. And the creature, out of this replication, out of this imprint, a negative. Yeah, out of this projection, the creature should move to the original. So there's the only game is in the face or the backside of the creator. So in every state I'm in, I should discover only the light. What does it mean that I correct myself? That whatever I see, I will relate to the darkness as light. That's called being corrected. What's the masach? Even if it seems completely dark in my kelim, in my vessels, why is it completely dark? Because it's light of bestowal, light of the Creator, which my vessels of reception cannot tolerate. The Creator is not pleasure. The Creator is a pleasure of bestowal. Why is it hidden? Because you can't stand it. To you, it's death for the ego. So, we don't have a choice but to gradually acquire such forms of darkness that will be as light. Well, the light doesn't change. That's why we say there is no movement in the light. All the movements are only in the kelim. The kelim should change. They should acquire or receive light of bestowal as light. And what they previously related to as light, they need to understand that it's only a tiny light, a tiny candle, that they were given in order to exist. And they will not be given more than that. There is no more than that. The light of separation exists only in this world, in this tiny desire called this world, in order to sustain for the time being, sustain the kelim, the smallest ones. Yes. You said before that a person should want to correct the previous image he had on top of the darkness that's appearing. Previous picture, meaning turn it into light. Even though it is darkness, currently. Previously, you had a nice picture. Everything was fine. You were happy. You had friends. You were studying. Everything was pretty much in place, in order. Afterwards, all of a sudden, everything is pointless. You don't have any high spirits. You don't feel like you have something in life. You don't feel like you're moving anywhere. All you want is to go to sleep and just wait for it to go away. Those who are experienced know that it passes, and they say, I'll wait until then. This is a state where more light shines for you than before. And in this light that's shining for you more than before, you see lack of interest, lack of pleasure, lack of fulfillment, because this light that's shining to you now truly is light of bestowal, light of the Creator. The Creator is the giver and the one who loves. One who loves doesn't mean he loves me. Okay, so love me. I allow you to love me. No. It's a light that is that is sensed as a result of love. So it turns out that now a higher state is shining upon you. You could say that now you have two states in front of you. Your current state, which existed before too. And the current state that came to you now is the posterior of the next degree. That you have two standing one opposite the other. Two pictures.
And you feel darkness. As a result of this comparison. Yeah, I forget how to say comparison in Hebrew. Yeah, as a result of the comparison. You feel darkness. So, quickly, start comparing those images in a way that they connect. This means that you cling to the posterior of the upper one so that it seems to you as light. You can ask, how can I cling to that darkness? What should I do? What? Be energized like I was before? Be happy like I was before? What? How does it happen? You don't have the kelim. You have to ask. Here is where you have to ask the friends, the study, from above, I don't know how. You have to demand this to happen, want it to happen. Make any actions so that the state that seems to you dark right now will actually be beneficial as light. That's it. And once you do that, meaning once you are willing to rise above your ego and not to take into account your unpleasant impression, but to dwell on this notion, on this ideal, connection with the friends, without being subdued to the feeling, without letting it control you, the more you are able to transcend your egoistic sensation and rise even higher towards bestowal, so that only the action of bestowal, only that feeling of bestowing will be the purpose, the goal for you. That will bring you to adhesion with achap of the upper level. And if you are in adhesion with the achap of the upper one, the moment you cling to it, it's like a droplet in the wall of the womb. That's when development starts. That's when the achap of the upper one raises you to Galgalta Enaim. It means that the development of the drop of semen begins. That is your point of adhesion. It is a dark point. You feel no pleasures. You don't understand anything. But you wish to cleave to that state. And above reason, you see that this state of clinging to darkness is a higher state. You received it from there's no one else besides him, not from anyone else. It's not your uncle or your boss at work or the group or anyone, and not yourself. This is why you accept that state as light, as a good thing. That's it. You want to advance towards that only. Once you made your effort towards that as much as you can, well, you don't know how much you can, how much is possible. You only see that according to the upper one that raises you, that starts performing its actions over you. And the actions of the upper one, one by one, are giving you the ability to adhere, to cling to him even more. That is, to rise above the pink egoistic picture to even greater darkness and greater darkness, and you nullify your ego more and more. This means that you go through Ibul, conception. Even if the light of infinity will shine, you are willing to be in that darkness, and because the light that shines is darkness for you, it's the posterior side. The embryo feels darkness, but you're willing, without any of your five senses, without hearing, without seeing, without understanding, without feeling, you are willing to give up on yourself, relinquish yourself, only so as to cling to the womb of the upper one. The embryo feels no pleasure, no egoistic corporeal pleasure. It has relinquished everything and made a point out of himself. What does he have? He clings to the upper one to some extent. He is in darkness, but he is in adhesion with the upper one. This means that he is inside the womb. And then, by the light that shines even more, and it gives him even more darkness, he starts giving up on himself even more and more, only in order to adhere to the upper one. And this is how the embryo develops. And what is the embryo? Masach and Ochos, a screen and returning light. That's it. In spirituality, we don't take the desire into consideration. We only consider what's above the desire. Masach and Ochos. What grows above the desire, as opposed to the desire. In contrast with the desire. Yes. If I understood correctly, then any point of meeting with darkness can lead a person to the state of Ibu. One can continue that until the Ibu. Yes, of course. The point of darkness is the beginning of the Ibu. But all our states of despair actually are an expression of the spiritual picture to which I have to cling, nullify myself towards it. that place of darkness is where I have to cling to that darkness by relinquishing my ego, and then this darkness turns pleasant, it turns to light. How is it pleasant? Not to my ego, but in the understanding that I'm now closer to the Upper One. All our disappointments, what is the whole period of concealment we go through? Why is it called the period of the time of concealment? This is the time of concealment. When I'm in my ego, this is my ego, and a greater light appears. The gap between the light that appears, or the second picture, let's say, and what I see is the first picture. The gap between them, that difference, equals darkness. Now I need to rise. Here I feel bad. I feel bad because I sense the next spiritual state or picture. It means giving up more. That's no good for me. It means give, bestow, do something for free without feeling any compensation. So, of course, that makes me feel bad. We have to understand that we're not talking about what a person feels just like that externally. We're talking about what happens within him, subconsciously, in his more interior part. So there are two pictures here, the present picture and the next one. So that next picture is the posterior of the Upper One. And this is the front side or the face of the Lower One. This is where we are. I have to cancel myself, give up on myself, only in order to adhere to Him. And this happens time after time, again and again, until I reach a state. What happens in this process? I go through these stages in my will to receive, where my will to receive becomes nullified towards the Upper One, before the Upper One, until it is completely nullified. Meaning, I am willing to be an empty, and black point here, as long as I'm together with the Upper One. And all of that is on top of my will to receive, starting from 0% to 100. Meaning, I am willing to have nothing with respect to anything that appears to me as pleasures or darkness or whatever, as long as I am a point that is with the Upper One. What does it mean? A point that is in bestowal. Besides bestowal, I want nothing. This means that I enter Ibu conception, or a drop of semen.
No.
Yeah. So when a person receives this opportunity, when he feels the second picture, how does he continue to the point of Ibu? How does he continue that development, advancement without stopping it somewhere in the middle. Find the excerpt from page 106. What, again, how does one advance from state to state? From picture to picture, from level to level. But what are the means? The group and the books. He doesn't have anything besides that. What determines the number of pictures that have to be on this path? That we don't care. You don't determine that. This has to do with your desire in comparison with the upper light. All the images you see come from your soul. And you also don't understand what happens to you inside, because everything happens within man. There's nothing outside man. So inside there, you have the whole letter to the point of infinity. All the worlds, everything is just in our sensation. It's in our subconsciousness. It's all in us. Right inside our self, our I. And we don't understand what is the I. It's really a replica of the Creator. But it doesn't matter. You work with whatever appears to you. And what appears to you is more and more of your internality. You start understanding more and more from level to level. Give him your Kabbalah for the student book to read from page 237. Reading from Kabbalah for the student. This is Rabash's article called Association of Mercy with Judgment. Page 237. It wasn't part of his articles. This is something I found by chance. I remember we drove together with a few friends I had there to some picnic. I was actually close to here, to Petah Tikva. Somewhere near the Yarkon River. And I had a bag of all kinds of notes of Rabash with me, so they could, the friends could help me sort them out. And then I found their article, you know, just on a piece of, small piece of paper, in a whole bag of notes. The essence of the work is the choice, meaning, therefore, choose life, which is dvekut, adhesion, lishma, for her name. Thus, one is rewarded with dvekut, with the life of lives. But when there is open providence, there is no room for choice. For this reason, the upper one raised malchut, which is midat hadin, quality of judgment, to the enaim, the eyes. This created a concealment, meaning it became apparent to the lower one that there is a deficiency in the upper one, that there is no gadlut, greatness, in the upper one. In that state, the qualities of the upper one are placed with the lower one, that is, they are deficient. It follows that these kalim, vessels, are equal to the lower one, as there is no sustenance to the lower one, there is no sustenance to the higher qualities. This means that there is no flavor in the Torah and Mitzvot. They are lifeless.
In all the means that a person sees in the study, in his advancement and dissemination, in the group, in everything, he feels that it's all pointless. No reason to do it. I don't see any benefit in that. I don't see any profit. Just to drag myself in life. Ah, okay, as long as I live. Okay, so So what else do we need to do in life? I don't get nothing out of my world, out of our world. I already understand that it's pointless to work in it. I see that it's all wasted away in the end. I expected the spiritual world to give me something, but I see that it's all dark there too. Nothing there. So, it's neither. And so he remains that way, motionless. And in that state, there is room for choice. Precisely in the darkness, in the helplessness, when there is no energy to move. Yes. Meaning the lower one must say that all this concealment that one feels is because the upper one restricted himself in favor of the lower one. Have to say is not just have to say, you have to attach yourself to what you say, so your heart and mind will be the same. Meaning that your mouth and heart. Meaning the mouth will say what the heart says. In other words, there will be a pinch in the heart that this is what the upper one is doing to me in order to wake me up. So you don't feel it superficially, like in a dream or out of a mist, but to feel it inside, that it's the beginning of the actual awakening. This is called, when Israel is in exile, divinity is with them. Meaning he discovers his connection to the upper one. This is called divinity. In what? In exile, yes. What exile? He is detached from the upper one. But there is a point of connection. It means that even if in his detached state from spirituality, there is still some kind of contact with spirituality in him. Thus, whatever flavor one tastes, one says that it is not his fault for not tasting liveliness, but that in his view, there is really no life in the upper one. And if one becomes stronger and says that the bitter taste he finds in these nourishments is only because he does not have the proper vessels to receive the abundance, because his vessels are for reception and not for bestowal, and regrets the upper one having to hide himself, which allows the lower one to slander. This is considered man that the lower one raises. Through it, the upper one raises its achat. And ascent means that the upper one can show the lower one the praise and delight in the vessels of achat that the upper one can disclose. Thus, with respect to the lower one, the upper one raises the Gagalta Enayim of the lower one by the lower one's seeing of the upper one's merit. It turns out that the lower one rises along with the Yachab of the upper one. Well, that's a bit more advanced than what we were saying before. But in short, to understand that every state we feel is a more advanced picture along the way, advancement from below upwards, we constantly elevate ourselves from below to above. And there is no such thing as not moving forward. So, as much as it may be bad, dark, powerless, or low-spirited, it's always a more advanced state. If you can relinquish your ego so you can work in that state as if it's filled with light, then you've gained, and you've risen to that state. The question is simple. If you previously had motivation by thinking that you're now going to enjoy and be filled with spirituality, open it up to you, and discover it like you used to in corporeality, in your ego, you fill yourself with knowledge and understanding and feelings, and everything is powerful. Now that you have to see spirituality as less understanding, less feeling, less joy, less energy, how will I work? You will work with gladness and energy and power and understanding and feeling in order to bestow. How? You'll be given that. But what you thought before, that the next state will be more of a profit for you, never. A new kli will always appear, dark, and you will have to understand that this darkness is not darkness, but light of bestowal. And if you become a giver, that darkness, you'll discover that it's light. Yes. A viewer from the United States is asking, when we stop hoping to receive anything and come out of the suffering, will we then be able to receive the desire to bestow? A viewer from the United States is asking, when we stop expecting to receive something, will we able to then reach the desire to bestow? No. No, that's not good. If I think that I will not receive anything in spirituality, then I won't move. I'll have no motivation. I want to receive, to satisfy myself. I want and I want and I want. But there's an inversion here. I have to do it in bestowal. I have to attain it in bestowal. Yes. Miguel from Mexico is asking, when it says that you have to believe, you have to love, isn't it enough to just want? Well, of course it's in the desire. To want to love, to want to understand. It's within the desire. We have nothing but the desire. Even when I say that I'm working above the egoistic desire, I'm working within the desire, but with, in a way that doesn't fulfill the desires where I'm hoping to feel for myself. My desire is then split into two, well, two modes, kind of. But again, I'm going to enjoy it. It has to be clear. Without pleasure, there is no life. The purpose of creation is to delight his creatures, but the creator enjoys giving, like a cow, like a mother that gives to her child. More than the calf wants to eat, the cow wants to feed. The creator enjoys this feeding when we receive from him. That's why the affliction of divinity is when there's no one taken from her. So a person should be in equivalence of form with this kind of quality. Or if you give, if one receives from you, then you enjoy it. It's like a cow that's exploding with milk. That's why milk is called light of mercy. And well, okay, no, light of mercy is called milk. We have something from the writings of Rabash, Volume 1. It's called the Agenda of the Association. He writes, we can replace the pleasure, meaning instead of receiving pleasure from reception, we want to enjoy bestowal. This is called equivalence of form. So it turns out that the basis of being able to receive delight and pleasure in which we are allowed to enjoy, moreover, that it's that we must enjoy an act of bestowal. Again, we can replace the pleasure, meaning instead of receiving pleasure from an act of reception, we want to receive pleasure from an act of bestowal. And this is called equivalence of form. Hence, it turns out that the very basis for us to be able to receive delight and pleasure, in which we are permitted to enjoy, and moreover, that we must enjoy an act of bestowal. This way. You previously explained it, but it's still not clear. Of course it's not clear. How can it be clear in the will to receive when you're talking about the will to bestow? It'll never be clear. Now you can ask. I don't understand the process. Well, I told you. It's true that you don't understand. I'm saying, let's say there are many people on the street, and then there's this bumper sticker, smile, it's all for the best. Smile, what do you mean it's all for the best? If I smile to you, it's for the best, or to yourself? You suffered a blow, don't worry, it's all for the best, it'll be okay. So a person doesn't come out of the will to receive. Darkness appears to him. No, this smile is destructive, because he's telling you, smile like an idiot and everything will be okay. Not through your effort, and you were, but, well, it'll be okay. Where does that come from? Because people have nothing in life. At least they already know that there's nothing they can do, that they're in some kind of fate, some kind of blind fate, I don't know. So it'll be okay. Can you do something? No. So at least smile like an idiot. Be in a good mood, at least that. Yes.
Meaning it disconnects us from our action, from our free choice, from anything. It's destructive that put a smile on your face thing. So other people will tell you, listen, I realize that I suffer blows. I understand that it has to take me to the next state, which is better. No, it won't just take you if you don't complement the second part of it. What you're saying is just half of the matter. The blow reveals that darkness in contrast with bestowal towards my ego. I have to rise to a state where this darkness seems as light to me, when I'm willing to nullify myself. Otherwise, I step down to religion. What does religion say? Everything will be fine if you pray, if you give charity, come to pray, do all kinds of actions, have faith in the next world, you'll have your reward there. Anything in order to disconnect a person from the correction. So, why would a person want to be that drop of semen? Where will it even come from? A person who's all his life used to feeling good, he only wants to enjoy, he wants to be happy about enjoying, why will he want to be in that state of being a drop of semen when he's completely nullified and he's non-existent? We come to that because they bring us up from above. Why do you sit here? You don't know yourself. But this is what happened. You found yourself in this place. You wouldn't even dream of being here. Maybe that would be your worst nightmare. At 3 a.m., instead of being, you know, in your pubs, or, well, actually, probably worse, you Tel Aviv people. So you see, you sit here, you get dried up, and you even ask, how do I give up pleasures? That's,
Are you okay?
You fine? But that's what you have. I heard you say that only the desire exists in nature and the power of will changes everything. There are so many things I want in life, but I don't get them. So how does it coincide with that sentence? Again? I heard you say that only the desire exists in nature and the power of will changes everything. So I want many things to happen to me, but they don't happen. How could it be? Because besides your desire, there is the plan of creation. This is what I explain. There is a plan in which everyone moves toward the purpose of creation. It's like a spring that is tensed and everyone's running. Like where Barasulam explains about those who climb towards the king's palace. You know, so some already climbed it, some are already inside working there, and some are really, really far away. You know, millions and billions of people gradually climbing that mountain. But everyone is going in the same direction. From the first state of infinity through the second state to the third state of infinity. This is what it tells us in item 123 in Introduction to Tess. 133. And that's it. So with respect to that plan, we exist. The plan is predetermined, unchanging. It constantly works on everyone. That engine is called in its time. Now, since we are able to sense it, this plan is felt in creation to the extent that the element of creation is sensitive. Sensitive meaning capable of sensing pleasures or lack of pleasures, which is the fulfillment within the desire. The desire constantly changes. It grows. So each and every part becomes more sensitive. Some people are not really developed. They don't feel many discernments. More developed people feel more discernments. And also it's according to their characteristics. What I said about doing everything with the power of will is if you want to realize the plan of creation of your own accord and not being pushed by the blows that push you again and again. That you are able to do with your desire. Meaning, make your desire as his desire. That's all. Calculation is simple. All you have is your desire. Invert your desire so as to be like his desire. What's his desire? It is what appears to you time and time again as an example. In your life, you always feel the gap between yourself and the Creator's form or image that appears to you after or behind the whole ladder. Let's say you're in the minus 500 degree with respect to infinity. So there is your level and the level minus 500. And you have to match yourself to that level. That depends on your desire, on your awareness, how much you feel that you are facing something here. We are shown here various pictures. In truth, it's only one picture here, the picture of Ein Sof, infinity. Only we see it through filters. Well, I don't want to complicate it, but yeah, we can sketch the filters here. They're thicker and then thinner until there are no filters at all. And we all, from the state of the shattering, from before that even, we are behind those filters. Meaning, this is my ego, or my desire, which constantly grows. And that desire feels the images. It's the images in the will to receive. So I am in some egoistic state. I'm not even talking about the 125 degrees here. I'm talking about even before we enter that. So there's some picture I sense here. A sensation that I exist. There's me and there's the external world outside of me and so forth. And I feel some state. I'm not aware that I feel something that corresponds with me. I just exist. And I want to improve myself every time, so that those two states will connect as one. The desired state and the existing state will be as one. Now, there comes a situation where I am given the understanding, the recognition that I am facing something. I have to reveal what is the point in my life, what do I live for. There is something that manipulates me, that governs me. It's a picture within me that doesn't let me rest. It doesn't let me stay calm until I find what I'm facing. This means that I start revealing the point in the heart, the source. And then through all types of lo lishma, I come to such states where I reveal that there is a picture of the world I see within me, and there's an opposite picture of bestowal, whereas mine is of reception. And then one picture is against the other, and I start working with that. So a person is always facing something opposite to him. In front of him is the Creator, the image of bestowal, but not he himself, in the flesh, so to speak. Rather, behind all kinds of filters, curtains, concealments, so that man would be able to somehow connect with him, if he wants to rise above his ego. And this is how it is in each and every state. He clings to him. Therefore, it doesn't even matter in what state we are. We have to tell ourselves and Do not forget that we are in the Achab of the upper level, the upper one, even inside the Creator, or we're facing the Creator, and we have to cling to Him. That's it, no more than that. Even now, even though it is the final goal, adhesion, but to some extent, in some point of your will to receive, that you completely nullify, you have nothing besides that. You don't have anything. You cling to Him by not having anything. So, how are you in adhesion? By not having any means by which to be in adhesion. And that's your adhesion. That's the beginning of it. You understand? It's an attainment. It's a sensation. This is what I want. Meaning, I will not have anything of myself besides that point of nullification. Yes. So what? I suffer a blow. I feel bad. Let's say, I don't know, I got laid off. And I feel bad, and I wish to cleave to the Creator. This is exactly what's happening with the world today. The world suffers blows, and it will suffer even more blows in order to come to that first point of giving up. And maybe for most people, for most common people, they don't need more than that. Maybe just a little bit more. Because if I... It depends on how much I bestow upon others. You understand? Maybe... And maybe I just need to give to the others, and that will provide me with my livelihood. It's like cells in a body, you know, or nail tissues, or skin tissues. It doesn't matter. You understand? They exist, and they live, and they provide for the whole body, and they live in a very limited fashion. Even though we don't understand how every cell is important for the body and is interconnected with the whole body, because but for now, as an example, that's fine. Do you understand? Just clinging to that one point, what you created as my ego, is something I'm willing to relinquish, only to be connected with you. And that point is where I live. And that may be the end of correction of the whole world. That maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm telling you that this point is already adhesion. This is what I wanted to say. This point is a point of dvikut. Although, if later more and more desires appear to you, called transgressions and sins that and mistakes that you reveal, then you have the opportunity to rise above them as well. Also by making concessions. But there it's a different type of concession. They, as if they tell you, you can enjoy and receive everything. The Sitra Achra, the other side, tells you it has all the lights. And there you have a lot to give up. Here you have nothing to give up. This level of concession is the easiest. What do you have to give up on? What do you have in life? What? All the fun you had in your clubs? It's unreal. It's not tangible. You see how the whole world doesn't feel pleasure anymore from that. People discover that it's all worthless. See a little bit of suffering and people are willing to give up on everything. When you cling to the womb, to the achap of the upper one as a point, all the rest of the levels of development are when the upper one opens the light to you.
It opens up the pleasure for you. Now, it's hiding the pleasure that is in it from you. It's given you a chance to advance towards Him in darkness. It is your salvation that you can make just a little bit of overcoming your desire through the book, through the brooks, through the group, and you can move towards him, even though it's darkness. But afterwards, it is an additional addition of great heaviness when an egoistic pleasure shines for you. And you have to overcome that. That's a little more than and it's the opposite of what we think now. It just turns our minds upside down. You can't imagine what it is today. Well, it's an opposite world. That's why we can't see people who advance and understand them correctly. The same with friends or with everyone. Yeah, okay, so that state is remote, but I'll go even lower than that. I don't know what a womb is. I don't know what is the chapa of the upper one. But like the rest of the world today, right? But it is suffering blows. So this is an invitation by the upper one to come closer to him. See how beautifully it's appearing. He says, guys, the whole humanity is connected. And you see, in this connection between you, that your personal egos is destructive. That will gradually become clear. And we can see that it's already happening. In other words, he is promoting us. Look through what clear means. He is promoting the whole of humanity towards him. Meaning mandatorily, compellingly, coercively. Okay, so I have problems with my income. I don't know, there's cuts in my job. What do you want me to do to say that the ego is wrong? I don't know if I feel it. I suffered a blow. I didn't do anything. I was a good worker. I was working my whole life. I did what I had to do. I did what I was told. I have a family. I'm worried about it. About making a living. Now I suffer. So what should I do now? Well, what you feel is what you're going to do. We can't advise anything to you. We're just trying to explain to you that the situation that is now happening all over the world is here for a reason and a purpose. That there's a plan in nature to do this with the way Miron and with Vanya from Odessa and with Kola from Moscow and John from Mississippi, etc. With everyone. And the French and the German and British and the Jew and Israel, never mind, everywhere suffers. Everyone suffers everywhere. It's in nature's plan for the whole of humanity and towards every single person individually. There is no like a general act, like let's just throw it at them and see what happens. It's a network that's connecting all of us, and in that network, everyone's got a place, and place, and it's calculated for every person. So that's what we're trying to explain to everyone. And when people understand that, they will understand why it happened to them. Without it, you can't move forward. Whenever you get to a doctor, first you are examined, and a diagnosis is made. First, let's see if you're sick or not. Well, according to what you feel, you're sick. Fine, okay. So what is your illness? Well, I have fever, doctor. Okay, so you have fever. Some stupid contemporary doctor will give you something for your fever, and you don't have fever anymore, you go home. He thinks he's cured you. He hasn't cured you. You just go home and something terrible may be happening inside. All he wants is to get rid of you, so that's what he does. But a real doctor would start checking up on what's happening inside of you. He would test you and say, inside, oh, you have something terrible. Okay, doctor, so what do I do? Okay, so now he gives you medicine. You take the medicine and you get better. It's the same process here. What's the problem? I got laid off. Doc, what do I do? Okay, let's find out. Why were you laid off? It wasn't just on you. Look at others. I mean, it's a plague. We have an epidemic here. It's not that something so simple, and it's happening to everyone. So we need to see. You can't just say, okay, what am I going to do now? I was fired. Again, whether you want to or not, everything requires understanding, persistence, awareness, treatment, and the healing comes last. You can yell all you want until, with our help, and just by yourself too, you'll begin to understand that you have to start scrutinizing. And they're not just you. Look at all the economists and financiers. Are they making scrutinies? They're just escaping from the bad to what seems better to them. For now, their previous pyramids, their schemes, the Ponzi schemes. The Ponzi schemes that they've discovered, that they've built, have been exposed, so now they're building new ones. Look at the stock market, it's all rallying. How can it be rallying if people are being laid off, if the industry is grinding to a halt, if there's no trade? How can the stock market go up? They're playing, it doesn't affect them. They kind of covered up their lies with double lies, and they're continuing. So you understand? It's just like you. You're just yelling, I was fired. But they found a solution already, a false one, but they found a solution. Okay, so let's take something against the fever, and we're not sick. You see, we're well. You see, we have no fever. All the markets are rising. Yeah. All the, you see, it's all green. Green screens. So they've calmed themselves down. Yes, it's as if you drugged yourself, right? So you're doped, and it's like a person, you know, falling off the 10th floor, yes, and someone on the 5th floor asking, how you doing? Well, so far, so good. Well, inside they do have that fear, but you can't live with this fear. You have to complement things, otherwise you can't live. So again, this kind of question is temporary. You're asking, where do I run? I was fired, I have a family, what do I do? There's nothing you can do until you scrutinize and analyze the situation, the reason for the illness, the prognosis that it has, that it's going to take to get better. And if you do get better, what is the process that you'll go through? This sickness can last a great many years if you don't start curing it. If you begin to cure it, it's all up to you. There is a medicine, though. Yes. Okay, so what do I have to concede? Your ego. Every single moment, that's what you have to concede. To everyone. To everyone. Why? Because if you start analyzing, you're jumping. Don't jump. We are in a world. First of all, you have to diagnose the illness. We're in a world that's risen to a spiritual degree. Look, mister, you don't know, but I'll tell you. We used to be in a world that was egoistic, straightforward, where we lived in our usual way, in our egos. And that's how we advanced, using our egos. But now, we've shifted from a state called this world. It's as if we've shifted from this world into a kind of spiritual world. Humanity was here. Everyone for himself. Now humanity is here in a state where everyone's connected to every single other one. It's all systems interconnected. Everyone is connected as one. What are you going to do? According to the Kli, I'm writing according to the Kelim, not according to the lights. We've been put into that. Guys, you're all interdependent. As if you're placed into a prison or a camp or something, and the guards say, we don't care what's happening between you, but you just need to know, if something happens, it's everyone's fault. If someone did something, we're not going to look for the culprit. Everyone is punished. There's no such thing. To us, you're all one. And everyone's for everyone else, and everyone else for everyone. That's it. There's no difference anymore. In other words, we are in the spiritual world in terms of the Kelim. This system is called Adam, and we're in it already. You understand the kind of trouble it is? That this Adam is entirely cancerous, completely. Because there is not a single, well, there are, because there were Kabbalists, well, who were seemingly in history, they're all here. But there are, so there are organs that are to some extent corrected, of course. But the rest are completely cancerous. He wrote cancer. It's consuming itself. So that's the diagnosis that today we are discovering on ourselves. But if we felt it, as though the doctor, God forbid, told someone, you've got cancer, you know how that feels? There's something in my body, you can't even pinpoint it, it's all over my body, and it's eating me up from within, and I can't take it out of me. It's just eating me. It's putting me to death. It's like a snake inside of me that's working there, and I can't get rid of it. We have to come to feel that.
Try talking to people who have such a disease. I heard thousands of patients who would come to me. They say, what do I do? How do I take that out of me? How do I get rid of that? You know, it's a horrible sensation that something lives within you when you have nothing to do with it. That's the kind of feeling that we should have about our egos. That's the recognition of evil. The diagnosis only. How do you say diagnosis in English? In Hebrew? Ivchun. After the diagnosis, there's a cure. There's a doctor. Yes, there is. What can you do? Radiations. What does it mean? There are such radiation waves called the upper light, which cures you, heals you. So where is that cannon, you know, radiation cannons? So where is it? Where do I go through the series of treatments? I'm willing to come. There you go. But that's already a treatment. To attract the light that reforms upon yourself. That's it. And then, of course, that treatment comes from your healthy state that already exists in Ein Sof, infinity. There, where you are whole and healthy, and this is where the light comes to you from, comes to you, the present you, and raises you to that eternal, whole, and perfect state. So now you're asking, oh, I got fired from work, and give me something else. No, because that's all part of a process, and that thing you had to go through was necessary, and that's it. So you got fired, what happens next in life? If one will not relate to his life, treat his life as a process in which every day is in that path towards the purpose of creation, then obviously one's life will be just horrible. The world suffers horribly. Imagine yourself, many people who are terribly afraid that they won't have anything to eat tomorrow, and with families and so forth. So how fast do we need to explain to them? Because without the explanation about the reason and the purpose, that it's all by way of cause and effect, and there is a reason and purpose to the whole process, without that, they will not be healed. They have to be somewhat integrated with that, aware of that. Otherwise, they don't want the cure. They don't turn to the doctor. They just yell, "Give me my job back." Or they go out to the streets with a gun. Or they start making fires, burning things. They do things that won't help them in the end of the day. They have to understand what will help them, and it's only one thing. And you see, in the meantime, although some people here and there talk about the interconnection between us, and they already say that the egoistic connection between us is destroying us. And I used to hear it before in all kinds of international committees I attended, like in Düsseldorf and the World Wisdom Council and in Arosa, and in every place they say the same thing. Now the G20 summit was about the same thing. But the fact that they reveal the cause doesn't mean they can tie in the remedy. And even when they reveal the ego as the cause, they don't understand that we've entered a new phase in history. And even though who do discover it, how will they know the cure? They won't know the cure, because there's a part that comes there's a certain limit of the suffering from below. Here's the patient, and above that line is the doctor. So here below is the sickness, the illness. It's very bad. The sick person even understands the disease, that it's lack of connection between us. It's not enough. What do you do? How do you get rid of that cancer? That is what they cannot discover. That it won't be born from within man. They have to get that from the doctor, which is why the wisdom of Kabbalah exists. And the sages, the Kabbalists, and Bnei Baruch, doesn't matter, and so on. This is, so to speak, the doctor. And there has to be a connection between the doctor and the patient. It can't be any other way. It's like when you felt yourself sick in some way, you weren't really aware of what happens and how, but you came to the doctor. That's it. And it's the same way in the North Pole, or it doesn't matter what part of the world, in Iceland or anywhere. Everyone will discover that. They have to discover the source of light. Without it, we're seeing our groups overseas on the screen, by the way. So without that, the people of the world will not discover that. This is why Baruch Sulam and all the Kabbalists cry about dissemination. You have to show the people where the treatment comes from. Where are the radiations against the cancer? The radiations of the upper light. Yes. What you explain now is very clear. The problem, the only problem I have with this, is that I feel pain, and you're telling me, you need to go through a process. And what I'm used to is that when I feel bad, I take a pill or something, and that's it. No, I'm sorry. It's not right away. It's radiations. It's a process. Well, not you, God forbid, but there's chemotherapy. There's a lot of... trust me, I know this. Okay, but why will the patient have the patience? Why won't he turn to religion or all those immediate things for a cure? The will to receive grows. It cannot calm itself down by listening to jazz music or playing tennis or food, sex, family, honor, knowledge, money, religion, mysticism, or anything. It feels lack of fulfillment in those things. No solution. Okay, so they'll go to much worse places. They'll just go out to the streets with loaded guns. That may happen. But after that, because that won't provide a solution as well. We already existed in medieval times where people would wander about the streets with sticks and trying to eat each other up and so forth. Those things already happened in the world, and of course this doesn't bring a solution. The solution only comes from the connection according to nature. And our ego brings us to that point, actually, just like it brought you here. So the whole of humanity, just like I got that awakening at some point, when will the whole of humanity realize that this is what has to happen as a whole, so that this whole correction will be whole, will be so that everyone will be together in that? I hope that in the close
future,
in the near future. I think that with everything that happens outside and everything that we try to do inside, looking at the pace and the desired speed of things, at least according to what I want, it should happen in a year, even less. There's a momentum to it. I don't want to get into this now because we're about to conclude the lesson, but there's a great momentum in masses of people and the governments and interdependency and mistrust among countries, not just between people, but between countries. I hope that they will build some organization that will be responsible for keeping the peace between countries. That I don't believe you and you don't trust me, and in order to find some settlement, in order to a compromise, an agreement, we have to have faith in each other, trust each other. So you have to have some third party to keep that. It's like yesterday we talked about people going to some reverend to make sure they don't lie to each other. And the religious people will also engaged in that a lot. They always used to be kind of the connectors and intermediators and judges. So we will have to rise above all that to the power of bestowal. So there's a nice ascent ahead of us. With this, we conclude and move to the third part of the lesson. Before that, we'll sing a song.
Let's give it up.